Hello and welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. This is episode 3 of our journey toward Oculus Connect 3. And if you haven't checked out our previous episodes, please go do so. We've had quite a number of really interesting conversations with indie developers about what we expect to see at Oculus Connect 3 this year. And all of this is coming due to our wonderful sponsors at Intel. And so if you haven't caught the previous series of me building a new VR PC, that was also part of the paid sponsorship with Intel. And so we'll continue that on into Oculus Connect 3. Now, once we get to Oculus Connect 3, I, along with my cohort, Mr. Kent Bai of the Voices of VR podcast, are going to be doing live Twitch streams. These Twitch streams are going to occur at the end of each day. We're going to do like a wrap-up recap sort of thing, and these are going to stream live onto Twitch. So if you're going to be at Connect, Oculus Connect 3, please check me out and Kent doing that. And if you see us walking around with camera people behind us, come give us a little chat, and you might be part of our B-roll footage for this experience. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I have a feeling that we're gonna have some interesting people and you know, well-known VR developers and personalities come and be part of this. So I'm really excited about that. Along with that, I'd also like to remind everybody that on Monday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. Pacific time, I, Reverend Kyle, will be doing an AMA on everybody's favorite website, reddit.com. And so my Reddit AMA, Monday, October 3rd, 7 p.m., come check it out. Please come and ask legitimate, awesome questions about my experience with building my new VR PC powered by the Intel Core i7 architecture. And please at least come and ask legitimate questions to drown out the trolls, who are definitely going to show up. So, getting along to our point at hand, we are on our way to Oculus Connect 3. We're not that far away, folks. I mean, it's coming down. Depending on when I release this podcast, it might be in a day or two. It's pretty exciting. And so, to continue on with having our wonderful conversations with VR developers, personalities in the VR space, people who are making VR happen, I'd like to introduce our guest for this episode, Mr. John Hibbins. John, hello. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, Carl. I always love being on your show. It's wonderful to speak to you again.
Well, thank you, John. You know, it's very rare that we have repeat offenders, guests who have been on the show multiple times, and you are definitely part of that very elite group.
I'm just totally assuming you've run out of people and you've just had to come back again.
That's what it is.
I don't think that's the case anymore. There's lots of people out there. Lots of people doing cool stuff.
Absolutely. So John, you know, we've talked to you about so many different projects of yours. And, you know, give us the rundown. What is, you know, your position right now in the VR space? What's your company? What are your products? What are you doing?
Well, for those that don't know, we started off with our first game, Crystal Rift, and then we merged with the Windlands team. Cytek Games brought Windlands, and the team joined us, and we've been building Windlands ever since. But actually, we've sort of finished Windlands now, so that's out there on Steam and Oculus. We're doing some big things to that in the next few days, but next few weeks, which we can probably talk about, and the team is now 14 people, Kyle. So there are 14 people working for Cytek Games, and we are building our next two games. So we're very busy building new stuff for the future, which is amazing, really, because, you know, if you go back to when we first started speaking, the dream would have been, you know, survive VR launch and carry on doing this as a business. But here we are, what, 3 years later since probably our first conversations, and we've been successful enough to build our next two games. So yeah, that's amazing.
There are many studios out there who would be jealous of having just one title produced, completed, released on multiple platforms, and having it be successful. You're on your way to having multiple, you know, if not already having completed that. You're doubling, tripling, quadrupling the dream that some VR developers have.
Well, we're like, I'm trying to get the trimester. If I can just hit launch day on the Sony PlayStation VR, then we'll have had all three platforms launch day, and that deserves a gold star, I think. We'll go out and have a drink when that happens. But yeah, we're trying to, you know, I think it's been the right thing to do. You know, actually being, you know, retrospect's a wonderful thing. And my imagination prior to launches with the reality of post-launch, I think it was the right thing to do to focus on delivering game to all platforms.
I've been saying it for years that the developers that are going to be successful are the ones that do not limit themselves to one platform. And so whether that is all desktop or standalone or mobile or console, whatever it may be, having your software, your game, your experience, whatever it is that you're developing in VR, be multi-platform compatible, critical. It's critical to your success. Why limit yourself? I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, amusing things happen, but one did the other day, because I think one of the games on Steam made $1 million in a month. I can't remember. Was it Raw Data? I think it was Raw Data. Yeah. And somebody else came out and said the same. And I'm like, well, yeah, well, that's that market penetrated then. So this, you know, that's their sales done. It's not growing the way that I would want to see it grow at this stage. I think the equipment's expensive, you know, you got to buy really good PCs, etc., and the headsets are expensive, and it's, you know, there's a certain amount of people that are enthusiastic VR lovers that will just jump in and buy it, and I think that market is now, you know, not growing as fast as I'd love it to see it grow, but it is growing, so that's a good thing. And really, you know, hopefully PlayStation will come along and boost that dramatically. I believe that's going to be the case.
So what do you think needs to happen? I mean, we've got a couple big things occurring here in the next couple weeks. We've got Oculus Connect 3, and we've got Immerse here in Seattle, Washington, and we've also got Steam Dev Days being sponsored by Valve. What do you think, if the market is slowing currently in terms of sales and in terms of penetration, what do we need to see at Oculus Connect?
What I don't want to do is put people off making games. I probably need to use the right words that I don't know the figures. I've only got indicative sales figures, and I see what we sell, and that's really clear to me that we do sell every day. We're selling healthy numbers every day. There is a market there that is viable to produce games in and sell in, as long as you've got a really good game, you know. But as the days go by, there is more and more competition. I think we're really lucky to be in that top group of games that people like, and it's been well received. That's great. It's fantastic, in fact. You know, we're just very proud about that. But there's some really good competition in there. You know, you only have to look at the sort of top 25 in Steam to see that there's some amazing Steam games. But you're right, they sort of live in Steam, perhaps not on Oculus. And then you look at the top 25 in Oculus, and there's some amazing Oculus games. But yeah, not many cross that bridge. And then when you look at PlayStation VR, it's an even more limited list of people that support that as well. There's perhaps us, Eve Valkyrie. I can't even think of very many more. Radial G, they're awesome. There's a very small group of people that have done all three platforms. But it's not stagnant or dropping off a cliff or anything. It's just, you know, it's a nice steady income. There's obviously new people buying the hardware all the time. So it's, you know, it's a viable market.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, every time I open up Oculus Home, or every time I open up Steam and look to see what is available, it seems like it is growing. And it's growing at a level that is, if memory serves me correctly, it's growing at a pace similar to the mobile app store, kind of environment. So suddenly you see, here's a game that meets the requirements for this genre, and now here's another one. Oh, and here's a turret shooter. Oh, and here's a racing game. And oh, here's a melee game. And here's a first person military style. And now here's
it's great, isn't it? Yeah. I'm glad you're describing all that. Do you know what? The content's not a problem. Right. If you want to buy a headset and you want to have some great games and a little library of great games like that, there's some just amazing little gems. I've just recently, because it was Oculus sale, picked up the Defense Grid one. What's it called? Defense Grid 2 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's an epic little game, and I missed it. You know, I didn't read any reviews on it. I didn't, you know, perhaps pay any attention. I love defense of games, and it's just really well implemented, just wonderful little game. And the list goes on, really. The Rally coming out, VR support, fantastic. Sticker, you know, use a 1080 and a feedback wheel on that game, and you might as well be in a rally car. It's just incredible stuff. And Gang Beasts just released like a week ago on Oculus. Yeah. A fantastic little game. I mean, just this goes on, really. The Gnome Goblins demo on Steam a few weeks ago, wow, blows my mind. So there's really, really good content there anymore now, but you know, we have to pay for it, which is fair enough. And as long as it's value for money, it's well worth it, I think. I'm certainly enjoying, you know, with a different hat on, like a VR games player's hat, I'm having a whale of a time. I'm really enjoying playing a lot of VR games right now.
When I talk to avid gamers who are not yet exposed to the VR scene, I ask them, I said, so why haven't you jumped into VR yet? And a lot of them say one of two things. Either number one, they think that VR just hasn't developed yet to a point where they're willing to invest, because it is an investment. Like you said earlier, you know, they are somewhat costly to add this to your current gaming ecosystem. They are concerned that if they do buy, are they buying the wrong headset? Are they buying in too early? That sort of thing. The other group of people are saying things like, well, come back and talk to me when there's a game like, and they'll say things like Call of Duty, SimCity, Civilization, Forza, or, you know, whatever it is that your flavor of choice is. Yeah. Talk to me when that, and that part's actually happening. So I think in the long run, slow and steady wins the race. And so right now, VR may be hitting some level of small plateau, but I think it's temporary. And then
I agree. You know what? It's funny because I've got a different retrospect. It's really interesting to watch it all do what it's doing. And I fundamentally believe now, in fact, I've always believed this, but I fundamentally believe PlayStation is the shift in mass adoption for VR. I've just spent the entire weekend showing Windlands running on the PlayStation VR at EGX, which is one of the biggest in Europe shows. And, you know, you could just walk down the queue and chat to people about VR all day, and they're all like pre-orders or really interested in it or whatever. And you can't, you know, I've done the same thing because we showed Crystal Rift or Windlands to PC audience, running on PCs. And it's the main difference is these are a new audience and it's affordable and they think it's cool and they're just going to pick it up and pick up a load of games, and they're used to buying games. So that's really good. Whereas the PC, it's like mostly the hardcore. And I don't, you know, that's always sort of been that way. PC Master Race comes to mind, but you know, it's always sort of been that way, and I shouldn't be surprised, right? PlayStation's quite comparable to the other stuff, and it's got some really cool content on it. So it's great to have that catalyst for the PC Master Race side, because obviously the technical hardware, like the touch controllers and the Vive controllers and all the room scale stuff, is more advanced on the PC side, but the PSVR is pretty damn close, and it's like it will create this natural funnel of people that try it out and then get into the more serious stuff. And that's great. That's what needs to happen right now. VR needs to be commonplace in enough homes. I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, my sort of forecast, and it's randomly based on things I know, is that PlayStation will probably have day one deliveries roughly equivalent to both of the headsets that are already out in the market, right? That's my rough guess. And but which, you know, it's amazing because it will catalyst, you know, by the time it gets to Christmas, and perfect launching time, by the time it gets to Christmas, that will catalyst the PC side dramatically, because people will be going, oh, this VR is pretty cool, and they'll be seeing it in other people's homes, and then they'll be going home and upgrading their PC, buying some nice kit and doing serious VR. Not that PlayStation isn't serious, it's just the other hardware is more advanced, I suppose, and the games are a little bit different.
I definitely agree with you. I feel like the console is going to be, and I use the term gateway drug for VR because I feel like people are comfortable with consoles. People are comfortable with using their cell phones for things. So mobile VR, things like Google Daydream, things like that, are going to be gateways. But as soon as, and like you just said, and this is a perfect way of saying it, is once they decide, I like this, now I want more.
Do you know what? It's like being shown the light. It's like, I heard an amusing joke the other day, but there are two types of people. There are those that haven't played VR yet, and there are those that love VR, right? And there's nothing, you know, it's like, and eventually you'll try it and then love VR, you know? It's like, I got that joke totally wrong. I think it's more, but anyway, I think you can probably fill in the gaps there.
Sure.
The point is that, most people, especially gamers, once they've had some good experiences, like some really, especially stuff they're interested in, like maybe Batman or Star Wars or something, you know, that really they are fans of, and they've had a good VR experience doing something they're really fans of, they've just become converts straight away, really. And once you've played long enough, and I don't know what that number is, but you know, days, weeks, months of time, you slowly become less interested in this classic old-fashioned monitor you used to look at, and you start to get more and more interested in VR, and that's just, you know, that's normal. It's a new medium. It's much, as you and I know, it's a very powerful medium that conveys almost all emotions to a bigger strength, whether it be turret frightening or stood on the end of a cliff like in Windlands.
A lot of it has to do with, you know, VR is a delivery platform. It is a content delivery platform. And so whether that delivery platform comes in the shape of a trapezoidal shaped black box with, you know, custom everything and or proprietary everything in terms of a console or a mobile phone or whatever, when you get to the point where you can deliver X on that platform, then you get to the point where, and this is going to sound very PC Master Racy, but I don't care, when you get to the point where I want to deliver content X, but now I want to deliver content Y and Z, that's when I start to look at my other devices, my other VR content delivery systems, and go, this isn't good enough. And I'm hoping that, you know, the world has evolved quite a bit, you know, in terms of mentality of technology. People don't just go out and buy the quickest, cheapest, you know, whatever they can find on the shelf at Walmart. They do a little bit of homework and they do some research. At least I'm trying to think and hope that, you know, the public is smarter, but it might be a pipe dream. But anyway, I want them to go out and say to themselves, okay, what is going to provide me not just today's best VR content delivery system, but what is going to allow me to be tomorrow's as well? And it's critical for me to have that kind of mindset, because I need to stay on the forefront, which is one of the reasons why I built this new VR PC, so that way I can have something that not just will be relevant now, but it will grow with me later. It has a current, you know, it has an Intel Core i7 6700K processor on the Z170 chipset. But I have more room. I can put a better chip in there. I can put more RAM.
Hang on. You went very fast on that process then. What have you got?
It's a
i7.
Intel Core i7 6700K.
Woohoo! Same as me.
Ah, okay. See? You know, it's funny.
4 gigahertz one.
Yes, exactly. It's 4 gigahertz. Yeah. I have talked to so many VR developers, and everybody I talk to is running that chip.
Yeah, well, it's the perfect balance of like the fastest chip you can get, but not ridiculous money.
and also
the motherboard wise, it's like, if you're anything like me, you need a ton of USB 3s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I brought a motherboard that would run this. It's quite hard to get a motherboard that's got like 6 USB 3s on board,
right?
Or that sort of number. So mm-hmm. if you want to use Oculus with like 4 cameras or whatever, plus the main camera, plus you want to leave the Vive site, you really want 6 USB 3s. So I found a motherboard that runs that, and at that level of motherboard, you can run that type of processor. So it all sort of made sense.
Right, and it really is wonderful to know that not just developers, but major VR game enthusiasts are all running the same processor. I mean, I have yet to talk to anybody who either didn't already have that chipset or is dying to get it as soon as they, you know,
bite it's the funny because VR is like, I mean, yeah, you could run it on an i5, yeah, you can run it on 970, but if you really want to play VR and you never want to see a problem, which I'm sort of that category when I sit down and play games, I don't want to be like polishing like the, you know, going into the graphics settings and spending all afternoon in there polishing the settings to make sure that the shader anti-aliasing's right and the shadows are. I just want to play the game and I want to play it at the top level if I can. So it's like, I've obviously fortunate enough to be able to go out and get the best processor, but that processor.
I think I've beaten this horse pretty heavily to death, and even after death have beaten it quite a bit. But what do you think about minimum specs that have been put out by people like Oculus?
Well, they're really useful for us because it's sort of like we need to test the game runs on that. So that's fine. So it's really useful for us. But Windlands has got so polished over time now. It's like, and we've had a lot of benefit, and Crystal Rift has as well, of Unity improving itself. So it introduced things like single line pipeline rendering and various other optimizations in the particle rendering and stuff. So Windlands has been around a long time now, and it's just got more and more and more optimized. And we're just about to release the baked version of Windlands, which is taking us about 3 or 4 months to do, which is essentially pre-processing all the shadow maps are baked rather than being real time. And we had to do that for the PlayStation, but it makes the game look absolutely stunning because you get all the ambient occlusion baked and all the reflective light, and we can put baked lighting in, and you know, it just ups the graphical level of Windlands tenfold, but it also meant we could run it on the PlayStation. So we had to do all that work anyway for the PlayStation. So we invested all that time and money with a quite a large team. I think there were 5 people working on that for over 3 months. That's quite a lot of money and time and people and effort, but it's well worth it when you see. Hopefully we'll get that live soon and people will all enjoy that, but it means that Windlands is, you know, absolutely runs like glass.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, well, it already runs really well on my machine, which is pushing, you know, that Core i7 processor. But you know, to have Windlands be completely baked, I was unaware of the fact that it wasn't. So, yeah. We're
using real-time lighting, and the maps are huge. They're like 2 kilometers wide or whatever. Sure. So to do real-time shadows on that, I mean, it was always, well, you know, it always performed really well. There was nothing wrong with it, but actually the baking, it just looks stunning. And I mean, we've not left Windlands alone. We've added tons of content. We've been adding levels like speedrunning levels and playground levels to the end of the game. So we've been really, you know, we've not really left it. It's not been in maintenance until probably now. I think the next few weeks stroke the next month we'll put Windlands into maintenance and it will be considered complete. Although we've been working on our next products for quite a while now, it's Windlands will go into maintenance. Crystal Rift's in maintenance now.
So let's talk a little bit, because I find it intriguing, and in your opinion is going to be very valuable, I think, to the community about this. You've got Windlands, which heavily relies on the ability to have input controllers attached to your hands that you can move around. Crystal Rift, is like polar opposite in terms of input. I mean, you're talking about classic input, keyboard, mouse, or
use a Vive on it. But, you know, I mean, I don't think we missed a trick so much as could have done a better job, but Windlands came along and we needed to pick our fight. So we just, you know, we focused all our energy on Windlands. Crystal Rift, we could have done more with, you know, retrospect's an easy thing. You know, we could have, given where we understand the touch and Vive situation today, we could have done interactive fighting, we probably could have done experience points, we probably could have done, you know, this stuff we could have done. We could have implemented free roaming walking, maybe not just the grid.
But that sounds like scope creep.
Scope creep, and it's sort of like Crystal Rift is done. You know, it's a 10-hour game. It's what it is. It sells well, especially during the sales. We sell like 500 a day. I saw the other day one of these. It's like it can sell really, really well, and it is a neat little game, but it's also quite niche. You know, that's another retrospect thing we've learned, is that, you know, only so many people like dungeon crawlers. So
but
it's
I think
like,
that was one of those genres that needed to be tackled, and thank goodness you did, because, I mean, I've played Crystal Rift.
You don't, You don't regret that at all. You know, Crystal Rift's been an amazing, apart from learning, you know, it was our first game, its first VR game, Baptism of Fire. We learned a lot. We went through Kickstarter. We went through Greenlight because at that time, Valve weren't accelerating VR games. You know, we were successful in all of that. We launched through Early Access. We came out of Early Access. All of that has helped me and Nick and the rest of the company now, you know, find our feet. You know, it built us a solid foundation. So by the time we came to Windlands, we'd learned a lot of mistakes that we corrected during Windlands. And we you know, Windlands went through a similar path. It went into Early Access. It went through release. And enhancing our team with amazing people. Yeah, it's all been good, and it's got us to where we are. And the exciting thing is that I've seen the next two games, you know, and I know how good they are compared to the stuff we've done. So, like, we've just hired a person that works for DreamWorks. You know, it's like SciTech Games going back then, you know, our future characters and interactive storytelling is done by people that work for DreamWorks. You know, it's like that level of stepping forwards.
Do you have any thoughts in terms of, because, you know, I make the joke all the time that the Oculus Rift consumer edition is not fully released yet because the touch controllers are not out for the public to purchase. Now, I've been one of the lucky developers to have a set for a little bit now and have had time to not just play but also attempt to develop for them, and have found it very easy to transition from the Lighthouse controllers into the touch controllers. Do you have any comments or opinions on specifically developing for the touch controllers, especially since we're going into Kinect and we know that that's going to be a big thing, a big topic of discussion?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the touch controllers. I think they're fantastic. I've got very little that I think is wrong with it. I used to worry about things that are now no longer a problem. I used to worry that they weren't rechargeable and there was a battery in them. But the battery's like, I don't know whether your experience is like, but they last like 30 hours or something. They're like an Xbox controller level of batteries. And it's way better to pop out an AA battery and stick another one in when I need a new, you know, rather than having to turn them off and let them charge. So I've become quite a big fan of that. And that probably the only thing I don't like about the touches, and it's really a minor gripe, is that you've got to have a left and a right. That's the only thing that I find, because I'm with the Vive, you just sort of pick up either one and that's it, whereas the touch, you have to put the right one in the right hand, and it's such a minor thing, because they're a bit more comfortable controllers. They're harder to let go of, they're harder to throw because of the circle, that, you know, it's like they are great control. And for Windlands, it's just they're epic. They're just absolutely, it's like they designed them to play Windlands. You know, it's like they've got analog on both sides, so you get full control, just like a controller, yet you can fire hooks out of both ends, and they've got physical buttons for the jumping and the resetting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's just the best version of Windlands is playing them on the touch. So it's, for me, you know, and I've also got the benefit of using the Move and seeing on the PlayStation VR, so I've used all three sets of controllers there. For me, the touch is the best for our game. And, you know, they're just great controllers. They are really, really cool. And I like all the tactic things with the fingers and stuff for social. I mean, for me, the touch controllers are the best, full stop, right? There's too much I dislike about the Vive controllers. The touchpad is inconsistent across the world. You know, there's different build qualities, and I'm sure that's getting better, but we have complaints from customers about, like, them not reacting in the same way. The outer edge of the touchpad isn't great. The clicking on it isn't perfect. You know, it's the
You're talking about the Lighthouse controllers.
Not the Lighthouse controllers, the Vive controllers.
The
Vive controllers and the touch on that. They track really well, but they're not my favorite controllers, and we've had a lot of problems with it. We did the best job we could with Windlands with the controllers, and I think people love it. We did, you know, we got it right. We did the best job we could. But yeah, fighting the hardware's a problem. When you're not given the hardware to do what fits, then
absolutely. Yeah, I have very little gripes with the touch controllers. I know that the iteration that I have is not its final form.
Actually, I just think it's a shame that they haven't got analog sticks on them. That's my honest truth. And the buttons aren't a little bit better placed for the pressing.
I think that'll evolve. I think G2 of that will definitely change, but I do like the ergonomics and the feel of it. I've made the comment that when I'm using the Vive controllers, I feel like I'm holding something, whereas the touch controllers actually represent my hands. I mean, if we could find some way to somehow like put, I don't know, a glove or something attached to it where I could actually open my hands completely and not drop the controllers, I think the touch controllers would definitely be my absolute dead solution. Well, you can
also put lazy gamer on my forehead, right? I can't be bothered to the, no, it just needs to, I just sort of want to switch stuff on and press play.
That's right.
And that's it.
Yep.
And anything that involves turning something on or working something out or, you know, configuring something or even putting earphones on, frankly, I just start to get turned off. I think Oculus has become my favorite piece of hardware simply because it's just so damn simple. It's like you stick a baseball cap on, the earphones are there. For devving, that's critical. You know, I can't be bothered. It's not yet a perfect world where you don't have to put the headset on and balance it on your head all the time and go in and out of a 2D screen. You know, you must do this all the time.
Oh,
you know,
constantly.
Slotting in and out. Yeah, so, you know, scraping up and down on your forehead with whatever headset you've got on all day long. But, you know, the simple one to pull out is... And the one I use most is probably the Oculus. But do you know what? They're all amazing. I wouldn't not want all of them. It's like, yeah. For the content alone, if not anything else, you know, you can't get some content on Vive. You can't get some content on Oculus. On the Oculus. You know, there's just enough differences in the stores and there's enough differences in the experiences that you would want all, you know, if you're a VR fan, you obviously would want all of them if you could.
So I'm curious, because I don't go back and listen to many of my old podcasts, but do you recall the conversation that I believe you and Nick and I had, and of course we're talking about everybody's good friend, Mr. Nick Pittum. Hello, Nick. Shout outs to you.
Hello, Nick. He's awesome. I saw him at AGX again. You know, we're just good friends. It's great to be around
there. Very, very, very awesome individual.
All of our games. He's working on the new games as well. He's very much involved in everything. So.
Fantastic. So what I want to bring up was we had a wonderful conversation right after the Vive. I believe it was the original dev kit.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
I was just curious. I mean, do you think, you know, I think at the time everybody was really heavily defending how amazing the Vive was and how it was going to be basically the Rift killer. And I'm just wondering.
Well, I'm not a fan of room scale. That's okay. My big change. I wouldn't go as far as hater in any way, but I am not. I just don't think it's the future. I just don't think the room. It's a very cool thing to do. It's a very good demo, but ultimately, you can't develop for it because there aren't enough people with enough room, which was an obvious thing, and it was obvious since the start, really, that was the case. So it's ended up. What's happened is quite jarring for me because I really dislike teleporting, right? And there's a lot of devs now implementing teleporting, avoiding locomotion like the plague. And I think, you know, and it's just criminal because I'm sort of sat here as in the knowledge that like over 80% of people that play VR absolutely love these, you know, over the top experiences, you know, that whether it be a driving game or a space game or you know, a real world sort of jumping around game like Windlands, these are the things that some people crave. And there's a very noisy 20% of people or less in some cases, and extremely noisy few percent of people that absolutely backlash against anything with locomotion, which is terrible because Windlands sort of proves that it can be done and developers sort of avoid it, which means there's a whole set of games that aren't being built because developers don't want to take those risks, which is just like, as a gamer, I'm just like crying on the inside. And banging home room scale and saying things like VR legs don't exist and, you know, just, you know, sickness being raised all the time is just nothing but hurtful for VR. But even more disastrous for me personally is, and you know, I've got vested interest, let's face it, I've got no commotion game, but for me personally, I don't end up with some of the games that I particularly would like, I think.
So. Yeah, I feel like there's a very even keel now. I think there was this sensationalism that occurred when the Vive came out, and then the Rift, and then controllers here, and the controllers there, and then room scale, and then maybe not so much room scale, and now we've got kind of mixed reality novelty happening. So there's... there's all these different things, and it's wonderful that each time that it comes out, there's this invigoration that's happening in the VR space, and whether it's on the Valve side or the Oculus side or what you know, however you want to parse it out, it's exciting and it enhances. But you're right, we do need to have people kind of break the mold and say, screw the guidelines, I'm going to make what I want to make.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I think is my point. But the, you know, I'm not saying that room scale isn't a thing. I mean, it should be a thing. I think headsets, you know, Oculus have got their new Guardian platform, which has been publicly announced, and that's, you know, effectively the same as the Chaperone on Vive, and the ability to do that, walk around and move, is a really cool thing. It's like, I wouldn't want to have a platform that wasn't capable of it, but I don't think it's where the heart of VR is. I just think it's where it's some experiences are pretty cool like that, and if you can be bothered to clear your lounge or have a dedicated room, or you're lucky enough to have some office space for it, then great. But for the normal people that have got normal homes, it's like you just don't end up buying those games.
Right. Well, not everybody plays everything.
Or try in those demos. Or you queue them up. You know, you perhaps wait for one special Friday night where you're prepared to push the sofas against the wall and do it that night. But it's, you know, what's happened, though, is that people sort of supported room scale or whatever and then implemented teleportation. And the teleportation is just a dire experience. It's just a really jarring, uncomfortable, not really what VR is all about.
Here's how I look at it. It's really basic. You know, I could go and sit in a group of, you know, go to your stereotypical local coffee dive place where all of your gamer buddies hang out, and let's say you're in a group of like 6 or 7 VR gamers, and you're like, man, I'm gonna go home and I'm just gonna have a hardcore weekend of VR gaming, and everybody says, really, man, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna play, you know, Technolust, or are you gonna play you know, this, that, or the other, or Windlands, or no, I'm just gonna play Minecraft. Oh, well, how do you define that as being hardcore VR gaming? Well, the thing is you can't compare, you know, Tetris to Crysis. You can't do that. They're both games, and both are gamers who are playing them, but you can't compare them. So to say that you have to have room scale for it to be a good VR game, or you have to have controllers, you have to have gamepad, you can't bottleneck it. It's too early in the game for us to be forcing standards upon people.
Well, I think we're going to evolve as humans, honestly. I think it's possible to turn your inner ear off and your vestibular system off. People do it when they go to space all the time, and I think that's partly what you're doing when you start to get your VR legs. And I think that, you know, anybody that's done VR for 3 years can cope with the worst scenario of VR without feeling ill. I mean, I can't remember the last time that I felt like I needed to get out or lay down. And I've seen some pretty bad VR, so I was awful when I first saw VR.
A lot of people were. You're not alone.
We didn't have this beautiful benefit of 90 frames and all the rest of it, and all this wonderful hardware that's now out either. So, you know, we were struggling with whatever hardware we had at the time, and it wasn't great. And, you know, things have changed. But, you know, there's some shines. Like Onward is an incredibly popular Vive game that's got full locomotion in it, so there's a few there that are taking risks and it's paying off. And, you know, I think they're I'm looking at the charts right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 They're 8th in the Steam charts for VR right now, so that's not bad for them. They're sitting in 12th at the moment, random day, which is amazing for us. It's just the whole, I'm a bit addicted to looking at the charts and stuff. It's like you have to sort of watch what's going on, but it saddens me a little that there aren't more games pushing those realms, but I think it'll change.
So you know, it's exciting because you're going to actually be at Connect 3.
Yes, I'm so excited. We've hired a house, coming to America, I'm on my way.
Oh, fantastic. I'm very excited about that. So what is the thing?
And Andy Nickis as well. We're both coming. Oh, and my very good friend Tiago. Shout out to him. He's coming with us as well. We're all sort of firing across because why not? We've not. Nick went to the first one, but I haven't been to one yet. So
right. Yeah. That's. You know, I'm curious though. What are the rumors? What are the exciting things that are going to be released or talked? What do you want to see?
So I know some things.
Oh, well, tell us all of them. Go ahead.
Tell you all of them. Alien Isolation with touch support coming. So, no, I don't know. That's completely rumor. I read it on Reddit. Sure. Well, I posted something as well. That would be cool, though, wouldn't it? That would be my prediction. That,
More
AAA content, as much as we can get right now. But Alien Isolation, I would take. I do know a couple of things. I think touch is obviously going to be a big thing. Mm-hmm. Touch is still in schedule to launch this year, so that's obviously this is good timing to start talking about touch titles and touch as a whole. So I would imagine that there's going to be a lot about touch. Winlands has touch support. I've just discussed that earlier, so I'm hoping that that will be talked about a little as well. But it's because it's really great. I'm looking forward to seeing what's touch support games. I imagine there'll be a few people positioned like ourselves that have got an ideal game that they can add touch to, and it just works really well. So there'll be a couple of announcements like that. But we know some of the announcements that games are coming out. But I would imagine there's quite a lot of secrets in that. I heard that there's tens and tens of games coming for touch. I read it somewhere, and yeah, so I'm hoping that they give us a really good touch lineup, and they've got lots of demos there.
So for you to pack up your crew and come over here to the States for this event, you're not coming here for nonsense. You expect Kinect to be substantial this year.
No, I'm coming for nonsense. I want to Do you know, honestly, I don't know how many of the things I'm going to go and watch. I just want to come and say hello to half the people I've worked with for 3 years. You know, it's like I chat with people online, I talk to people, and I've never met them face to face, including yourself. You know, 3 years in now, just to say hi, to shake your hand and perhaps even buy you a beer would be a great experience in itself. So that is part of it. I've got a business hat on as well. There's quite a few things that I'm doing business wise. So we employed like the best people we can get, right? So if you're in VR and you've been doing VR for like 3 years and you want to be involved in our next cool projects, that's what we're looking at doing. So I will meet people, greet people. I'm also looking at products that we might publish or buy or get involved in. So that's all really interesting. Have loads of those conversations hopefully as well. So it's really cool from that point of view. So it'd be a bit businesses, but mostly I'm there to socialize and just have a cool time, really.
Well, that to me, that's what Kinect really is. It's about connecting with the other developers and the personalities, the evangelists, the people who have really truly given life to VR over the course of the last couple of years, and obviously yourself included. I love the idea of meeting people for the first time, even though we're already all kind of mates. You know, I mean, we all know each other. We've known each other for a while. It's meeting each other in meet space is a formality.
Do you know what? It doesn't get old. It doesn't get old. Met Zimtok. Zimtok's like a YouTube streamer. Not YouTube. What's he called? Twitch streamer. And he just does VR Twitch streaming and nothing else. And he came up to the stand this weekend, just gone, and just said hello for the first time. It's just like, it just doesn't get old. You know, you are, absolutely brothers in arms in VR. The community is amazing. You know, I regularly communicate with other developers and spend time getting to know them. And over the many months that you bump into them on the as you go around shows or as you end up being around the same interview table or whatever it happens to be, it's just an incredible set of people, and we always have fun, and yeah, it's great. It just doesn't get old meeting people in VR.
I totally agree. I mean, it's one of the things that keeps me invigorated to continue to do things like the podcast and go to the expos and everything. It's the people. It really is. It's the people, the personalities, the experiences that I share, the stories we tell, the stories we don't tell. It's really, really exciting. So, John, it's always a good conversation having you on the show. I feel like I could have you on once a week and we'd have a good conversation each time. Tell us, the listening audience, where we can find your stuff. And if we want to talk to you further, where do we go to talk to you?
Gosh, well, at Hibbins on Twitter, I'm always there. And Reddit, SciTech on Reddit. PSP5 Witek, and John at SciTech Games. You know, you can really always ping us an email. We really do listen to the community. If you've got stuff to say, just ping us an email. We take it really seriously. I think hopefully that we've demonstrated that.
And we can get Windlands and Crystal Rift both on Steam currently.
Steam and Oculus, if you've not already brought it, they're both Epic. And if not, email me personally and I'll give you a 400-page document on why I think it's a great game.
Well, there you go. You can't turn down an offer like that. I look forward to seeing that myself.
I'm gonna have to, am I actually going to have to make a 400-page document now? No, I can probably get it.
No, you just, you know what you do? You just make one page that says it's awesome and then 399 pictures of me. And all right. It'll be fun. That'll be worth the email. So I just want to remind everybody, like I said earlier in the show, that, you know, as we continue through our paid sponsorship from the wonderful folks at Intel, we will continue down the road to Connect 3. I'm going to try to cram in at least one more episode before the actual show.
You can't cut off now. You didn't tell me what you think they're going to show at Oculus.
Oh, well, what do I think?
This is a prediction thing. You've at least got to get that in.
Fair enough. I am just very, very, very excited to have Touch be given to the world so that way the Rift can be finally fully released. I look forward to seeing a lot of really good titles, things that we hadn't even considered, be available for the Touch. I want to see some third-party peripherals, or at least the concept of third-party peripherals being suggested or thought about. I want to see or hear somebody talk about the possibility of CV2 prototypes being in the works and what type of features that they might be looking for in that. I want to hear about more integration into the engine such as Unity and Unreal. I expect to hear, I could go on for quite a while, but really I like to be surprised. I do. I don't like to be that person that goes into a show and then after 3 days go, well, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, like the analysts do on every single Apple show.
They'll
absolutely look at everything that's likely to be said to an entire show until you know up front weeks in advance what's likely to be said. I think this, hopefully it's a lot of cool Touch content, but hopefully there are lots of little surprises. I hope so. They'll slash the price of the CV1 in half. They were only joking about the price of the Touch and it's really going to be $50. and a free trip in John Carmack's Ferrari for everyone in that.
Well, I don't know about that. I expect there to be a large amount of curation being done for the time for a few folks at Oculus, who I won't bother to name, but I believe that their time exposed to the public will be somewhat limited this year. But that's okay, because we're going for the things that Oculus as a company are providing, not necessarily the deeds of one or two individuals.
Well, so. I'll put something on the table just as a last thing, right? I think social is a big thing, and I want to see that be talked about a lot. I think, you know,
I couldn't agree more.
It with achievements and stuff, but you know, let's one thing where Oculus should absolutely shine is social platform.
Well, they kind of have Facebook, so they should. They definitely should be doing something a bit more, and I think they're working toward it. I think they're just trying to get it perfect before they ship it.
Well, we're sort of taking that ride now because all of our future stuff is multiplayer and social enabled. Yep. It's all cool stuff.
It needs to be there. It needs to be there. So I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of that coming down the road here. And who knows? Maybe we'll see some really big stuff in terms of Social Connect. That might be pretty cool. I'd be looking forward. That would be one of those things that would surprise the heck out of me, but I'd be very happy to see it.
Yeah.
So good. Very good. So just to continue on, like I was saying, our wonderful sponsors at Intel, they are going to be following Twitch. People are going to be following us around at Connect, me and Mr. Kent Bai, and we're going to be doing the daily recap. So be on the lookout for that. Also, Monday, October 3rd, 7 p.m. Pacific, Reddit AMA. I do want to announce that a slight rebranding of the RevVR podcast is in the works. And so along with a brand new, wonderfully designed logo that has finally been approved, along with that is going to be a renovated website, along with some more blogging content. I'm very close to picking some new intro, outro music. So if you like the stuff now, make sure you save a copy of it for intrinsic purposes, because it's going away, folks. I have found a few parties and mixers for Oculus Connect 3, but I intend to find more. And I believe that that is everything. So be on the lookout, like I said, for at least one more episode prior to Connect. And we're going to try to squeeze that in. And then maybe we can do some recap stuff afterwards. Who knows? I'm excited. This level of content that I am putting out for the RevVR podcast is substantial compared to things previously done. And so I'm very invigorated and excited to be putting so much great content out for the community. So, John, like I said, man, I can't wait to meet you. And we will. We'll smash a pint together. And we'll have a good time, you and me.
I'm going to wear my Windlands t-shirt. So if anybody sees me in my black and whatever Windlands t-shirt, please come up and say hi. Don't be shy. I really love to meet people. So, yeah, come and say hi to me.
Absolutely, yes. And don't be shy. I mean, I don't think we're a very shy group as a whole. The VR community is very open and very friendly. So don't ever feel afraid to walk up to any one of us and say, "Hey, aren't you?" Yes, we are. Nice to meet you. Let's go have a chat. So all right. Again, thanks to our sponsors, Intel. John, thank you very much for being a wonderful guest on the show today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Excellent. And thank you all very much for listening.